Blog Talk Radio.
Hey guys, how are you? It's that time again. It's Talk Geek with Tyler Brook, hosted by yours truly, Mark Mancini, here in Los Angeles. 347-205-9631. You can catch the archive version on blogtalkradio.com/Mancini Sports, podcast platforms, wherever you subscribe to podcasts, powered now by Mancini Media. So without further ado, as I turn this thing over, first of all, as I set the red carpet down, put the podium in its place, and hand off the mic, how are you, Tyler? How can people get a hold of you? And you got a great guest coming in here today.
Hey, thanks, Mark. For those of you that don't know me, I am Tyler Brook, host of this show, host of Talk Geek with Tyler Brook. Before we go any further, I would like to thank my sponsors for sponsoring this episode. I would like to thank Kitty Cat Rugs and Mater's Makings. And if you enter the phrase Geek Talk now, you can get 15% off your first order. And if you'd like to get a hold of me personally, go to geektalkwithtyler.com. There you can see all my social media pages, including Anchor. And if you click on Anchor and list more viewers, I can start monetizing. Or if you all just like to donate for me talking to you all now, please visit my Patreon page. Now that I've said my piece, I would like to thank my guest, Steve, a.k.a. The Fluffy Hobo. How you doing today, bud?
Oh, I'm doing all right. How's everybody doing?
Interesting topic for you all today. It's called Disney Owns Everything. So basically what this episode is going to be talking about is the stuff Disney currently owns, what you can find on Disney Plus currently, and what's in store for Disney. Steve, you watching anything currently on Disney Plus?
Currently, no. I really haven't had much time to adventure in, and with Disney Plus, there's really not much on there that I'm really attracted to watching.
Oh, if you're a Marvel fan, I recommend She-Hulk. It's actually pretty good. I thought it was going to be the same thing Harley Quinn was pushing. It was another feminist-type movement deal that they did with Harley Quinn. Kind of gets political at times, but whatever. But She-Hulk is actually a solid ride, enjoyable for the whole family, very worth the watch. I cannot stress that enough. And now Bruce Banner is Hulk again, but he's Smart Hulk. It's so hard to keep track of that. What do you think of the idea of Smart Hulk?
Well, I mean, it's not really an idea of Smart Hulk. It's more of, I believe he controls his rage better and still goes back to being the doctor or professor that he was.
Yeah, but Hulk without the rage is kind of like Superman without his heat beams or Batman without his batarangs.
Yeah, I mean, I guess it's more of a kinder, gentler Hulk, or Hulk, than what we're used to, you know, growing up with.
I mean, I get it, but if we're going to get Smart Hulk, well, why don't we just get frickin' Joe Fixit, Gray Hulk, where he's like a mafia-esque boss thing. That's the Hulk I'd like to see, or hell, or it's called an alternate future Hulk, the Maestro, which is basically all Hulk and none of the Banner, but he's still smart and evil, which would be awesome. Than the more awesome than the Smart Hulk.
I mean, smart evil characters are always a great cliche. Like, they always seem to attract everyone.
Well, yeah, David Xanatos for one, which you can catch him and the rest of the Gargoyles clan on Gargoyles, actually. And that's another in future thing we got for Disney, the new release of Gargoyles. So happy about that, and catch that. That will be an upcoming episode. And talking with Tyler Brook. And we get to see the wonderful things that the comic writer Greg Wiseman had in store before Disney took over for season 3.
Right. I mean, so I'm kind of out of the game a lot with Disney's and Marvel movies as of late. I mean, sadly, I've been working too much for me to enjoy anything besides scrolling the internet and watching everyone react to different movies. So everything I know is based off of the reviews.
Hey, man, that's fine. Business before pleasure. I get that. But is there anything... let me ask you. Do you actually have Disney Plus?
I have a Verizon service, so they give you Disney Plus right away.
Okay, so of the all the myriads of shows and before we go any further, let's discuss what you can currently find on Disney Plus. As we now know, we spoke about Marvel briefly. They own Marvel. They own Lucasfilm Studios, which is basically the entirety of Star Wars. They own all their original movies. And pretty much everything Disney came out movie-wise, they now have, except Song of the South for political correct reasons, which I understand entirely. We have Blue Sky Studios, Fox Studios, National Geographic, Pixar, and of course, TV shows from the Disney Channel lineups like Gargoyles, Tailspin, Kim Possible, and so many more to name.
I'm trying to listen to this, and it's not low, it is.
I'm sorry, what?
I didn't get that either.
How low that is?
Yeah, I didn't get
that. Basically, Disney Plus now owns a myriad of shows, including their own original shows, like Gargoyles and Tailspin and what have you. So that's plenty
right.
worth the watch.
Well, they also own Fox, and if they're going to bring anything back, I would much love to have them bring back Firefly. Or revamp
What's
that
Firefly
show.
Firefly Fox owned?
It was.
All right. Well, there you go. Firefly is Fox-owned, and that would be an interesting concept. So are you thinking like a full reboot or just bring the show on Disney Plus?
I would think a full reboot would do better because Nathan Fillion is pretty much retired out of the acting career.
Is he? I mean, I think he's still doing good work, in my opinion.
He's
but
doing
that's
a lot
just
of-
me.
He's doing a lot of voice acting work with video games now, but he's pretty much taken a hiatus from acting altogether, as far as I am to understand. He could be working on some project we don't know about.
Okay, so that's fair. So, as we just covered, Disney owns, like, several properties, and you hear talk that they're going to own the rights to the anime Bleach?
Yes, I've heard that, and from what I can tell on the Reddit forums and everything else, take it with a grain of salt. Disney is going to talk a massive game on it, but I don't think they're going to actually purchase the studio.
I hope not. The closest thing, to my knowledge, Disney's ever done with anime are all the dubbed versions of Studio Ghibli movies, which, funny enough, are not on Disney. They're on HBO Max.
Right, right. That's weird. And they do a lot of weird stuff.
Yeah, that's weird. Paramount Plus owns the right to Comedy Central, but you can catch every South Park episode, well, all of them except the five that involve Muhammad, on HBO Max.
Right.
So that's kind of weird, if you ask me. And we're now getting our first question. Danny from Fall River, Massachusetts, what do you think of Dungeons & Dragons? I love it. I'm going to be honest with you, Danny. It is a commitment game. When I first got into it, it just felt like a go-by-the-beat-your-own-drum kind of game, create your characters and have fun. But nowadays, it just feels like there are too many rules to Dungeons & Dragons. What are your thoughts on that, Steve?
Well, actually, I am a DM. I started with 3.5, and I've been working through on my YouTube channel, The Fluffy Hobo Show. You can actually see some of my campaign I have put up on there. Warning, it's not for kids. Me and my friends are pretty vulgar. But
so,
if
like
you want to see the experience, it's up there. So in the party I have currently, I have a ranger that's working to being a druid. I have a barbarian, a paladin, and a cleric. And they going through moral crises upon themselves because I have nothing but time besides writing moral crises for them to go after. It's more about their role playing than it is the rules. I'm a very lenient DM when it comes to that, and I can go for Dungeons & Dragons for hours. But, yeah, I love Dungeons & Dragons. I really do. It's a great game to play with no power.
All right. I think we can take that with a grain of salt. And can you imagine a Disney Channel show that does Dungeons & Dragons? Yeah, I'd say that would do as well as all their other live-action TV shows.
I mean, so here's the thing. Wizards of the Coast will sue anybody who monetizes Dungeons & Dragons, and they've made it very blatant. if you copyright and monetize any of their content, they will sue you for liability charges. So they would have to own the rights of Wizards of the Coast.
But didn't they have, like, a TV show back in the day about Dungeons & Dragons?
Yes, but they sponsored that.
Okay. Good to know. Good to know.
Yeah, that's why
but
I stopped streaming
concerned.
It.
But we just briefly talked about South Park. You remember that episode with Trapper Keeper?
Yes.
Okay, for those of you that don't know, Eric Cartman gets a Trapper Keeper, and they went all frickin' Terminator with it. They send somebody back to the future, a robot named Bill Cosby, air quote. Or at least Beck was cool to name your characters after a beloved celebrity, air quote. And basically they went back in time to get to destroy the Trapper Keeper to prevent them from destroying the future. So he destroys the Trapper Keeper. He's still there. Bill Cosby, the robot, is still there. And then Carbon gets another creeper. It's like, wait, so you mean that wasn't the Trapper Keeper? The Trapper Keeper you destroyed? That wasn't the one you weren't supposed to destroy? Yep, it's that one. It's like, no, I'm keeping this one. And then eventually Cartman merges with it to become like a freaking Akira-esque monster absorbing everything.
Yeah.
And that's what kind of Disney reminds me of right now. They're just absorbing stuff into their empire. Marvel, yum, 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 yum. Lucasfilms, yum, 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 yum. Pixar, yum, 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 yum. Yeah, they have the money for it. But I think at this point they're more concerned with their business aspect than the art of Disney. But that's just my two cents for you. I mean,
I completely agree with you.
Do I need to name all the live-action reboots we have?
No, thank you. I don't need to handle more cancer than what's out there right now.
Yeah, no one does. Side note, don't check out the Pinocchio movie. If they're going to bring back that whole donkey scene, I'm just going to avoid that.
Yeah, it's sad to see, like, a rise of power that Disney used to be, and then whatever this smoldering pile is right now. I feel like Walt Disney's rolling in his cryo chamber right now.
Probably, but we're now getting another question. Fred from Uniondale, New York. How about Little Spidey? Is that Spider-Man's son? Little Spidey, okay, that's the first I'm hearing that. My question for you is, which Spider-Man? Are we talking Peter Parker Spider-Man, or are we talking Miles Morales Spider-Man? There's only one way to find that out, and it's thank you, Internet. Okay, so I'm checking it out. It basically just looks like the chibi version of Spider-Man and his friends, which, okay, it's another way to market. It's like what Teen Titans Go is doing. But honestly, some of the best Spider-Man series or Spider-Man, anything I've seen, original Tobey Maguire Spider-Man, love that series, love that film franchise, except for the third one. Really enjoyed the 90s Spider-Man, where they got freaking Mark Hamill as Hobgoblin. That was the perfectly casting role for him. What else? The Spectacular Spider-Man, also done by Greg Wiseman. Which, side note, did you catch my Greg Wiseman episode there, Steve?
So hot take, I really don't care about any Spider-Man stuff.
All right, no, there you go. Let me guess, you're a DC fan?
But I just don't care for it.
No, that's fine. But to be fair, Spider-Man is more hype than he needs to be. He's got all the powers of
Spider-Man. I will agree.
I mean, does he, though? I've never seen him bite anybody. I've never seen him lay eggs. I've never seen him. Well, I have seen him glide, but yeah, I never seen him do any of the weird stuff spiders do. Never seen him throw up and then drink his meal with a straw, kind of like what spiders do. So, can he do anything a spider can? That's a difficult question to answer. But the one thing I will say with this whole Marvel DC controversy is that DC owned all their characters at one point. Marvel didn't. They do now, but, you know, it's still kind of a, It's still, so wait, why haven't we had a Fantastic Four movie in the MCU? Oh, wait, yeah, Marvel doesn't own that. How come we haven't had an X-Men movie? Oh, wait, Marvel didn't own that. Now, for all y'all that saw that Doctor Strange movie that came out, we just saw Patrick Stewart return as Professor X, and we also got a freaking The Office guy, John Krasinski, as Mr. Fantastic.
Okay. That let's not get too ridiculous now.
I mean, it's already ridiculous when you're catching freaking John Krasinski as a Fantastic Four. I mean, so what, does that make freaking Pam the Invisible Woman? Who knows? But honestly, Disney, I grew up with Disney, so as a fan, I'm glad I have Disney Plus. I love that I can catch up on a lot of my old shows and see a lot of the movies. I just feel like a lot nowadays, Disney's just an empire and a business more than a film studio. But that's just my two cents right there.
No, you're not necessarily wrong. I mean, they do have the right to buy out all the companies that they want to. But at a certain point, like, does the monopoly law come into effect? Because as soon as they own all the film studios, it's just going to be all Disney with subcategories. Similar to, like, you would see, like, Alphabet owns Google and YouTube and different things like that.
Well, Steve, you're not wrong. And we're now getting another comment here. Sam from, and I apologize if I'm butchering this, Alfreda, Georgia. Disney screwed up the Anaheim Angels when they had it. I mean, let's call a spade. Disney in live action does not work well. I mean, granted, arguably one of the most successful franchises is Pirates of the Caribbean, but that doesn't necessarily make it good. It just makes it popular. Like, a grilled cheese is a popular sandwich, but that there inherently doesn't make it good. So,
right, but what,
I think Disney really needs to stick with animation because that's its real bread and butter.
Well,
in my opinion.
For refresh my memory here, was Pirates of the Caribbean ever a comic or like a book of sorts? It never was an animation, was it?
I'm pretty sure it was its own thing. I think that was
right.
Maybe one of the most original things Disney's ever owned. And
right.
I think that
so
even
never really
Nightmare
had
Before
a...
Christmas.
Right. But
no,
Pirates
I don't
never
really think
had
they
had a animation, what is it called? Its own IP, like animation-wise. I mean,
no,
live actions are hard to do. Right. Live actions are hard to do.
Yeah, that's why I kind of cringe at the idea of freaking Lion King live action. That's not live action. That's just glorified CGI. That's all that is. So the fact that
remember
the
Dragon Ball Z live action?
The what now?
Did I say remember the Dragon Ball Z live action Netflix did? Remember how bad that flopped?
Dude, you need to sit in the corner and think about your life. For bringing that up to my face, okay? Seriously.
Live actions
like
don't work.
Okay, so the whole... Did you ever see Encanto?
Refresh my memory. Which one's this one?
Cliff Note. It's basically if the X-Men took place in a magical house. They all get powers. One's super strong. One has good hearing. One's a shapeshifter. Yada, yada, yada. But basically, there's
no,
a song. We don't talk about Bruno. We don't talk about the X-Men, the Dragon Ball Evolution movie.
All right. Yeah. Well, I mean, it is what it is. I just don't think the live-action stuff is very good. I never have.
Just
but,
because you
I mean,
can make it live-action
stop.
Doesn't inherently mean that you should make it live-action. Like, if we're going to do anything live action, I got two recommendations for you, Disney. Treasure Planet and Atlantis, The Lost Empire. Two great animated films, and with the right person, those would be great live action. Because at this point, everybody knows what Beauty and the Beast is, what Little Mermaid is, what Lion King is. So does that really need to be live action? Honestly, no, but I think Disney's more worried about the money aspect than the art aspect. Which is why...
Yeah, that's just what I was going to bring up. Like, they probably do a lot of live-action stuff for tax write-offs because they're like, we made too much money. We got to spend it.
Probably. And you're not wrong about that. So, as a businessman, I understand why they're doing it. But as an artist, it kind of annoys me. I'm not going to lie about that. It really
does.
Business, it's like,
couldn't you focus the customer first? Like, product should always come first when it comes to a business.
Quantity of product, not quality of product. But when they do animation, they strike gold with that.
Yeah.
So their animation, that's gold for them. All beautifully animated. I mean, the storyline I can kind of see coming a mile away, but to be fair, I'm a little older, and I'm more used to the dynamic of Disney. But the animation there is just top-notch. So I will give them props on that, because I think that needs props. Don't you, Steve?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I'm not going to dog them for their animation skills and their CGI technology. It is groundbreaking for what it is and how far it's come. But it's still, you know, I guess it's they've become a billionaire with so many toys they don't know what to do with. And I think that's the issue. They've grown bored with their own products.
It's like, dude, just give me some of the money and I'll help you figure this stuff out. I wouldn't mind taking some of that Disney money. I'm not going to lie about it. I kind of like what I'm doing better than my last job, at least the one I really get paid for. But I'm not exactly making a king's ransom over there. If you know what I mean.
I feel you there.
Well, if you feel me there, can you buy me a drink first?
Right.
All joking aside, yes, Disney, I think at this point Disney is more monetary than it is more art. But their show is actually, also let's talk about the actual streaming services. They had Anastasia for a while, but ever since the whole Russia fiasco, they took it off. Did you hear about that?
Yes, I did, and I think that is absolutely the epitome of, like, virtue signaling of, like, oh, we're not the enemy. But, it, you know, Anastasia's how old? Almost 35 years?
Are
maybe more.
You talking about the character or the actual movie itself?
The movie.
I'd say 20-something. Like, it came out in the 90s, but I remember it when I was a kid, so definitely 20-something. I'm going to say, off the top of my head, minimal 25, and we're now getting another statement. Al from Bend, Oregon, Disney. Al from Bend, Oregon. Disney had done well with the Mighty Ducks movie and On the Ice. Yeah, there's another flashback for you. Mighty Ducks. You remember when they made that TV show of that? Because apparently Disney didn't have enough ducks under the belt. They had Quack Pack. They had a Darkwing Duck. They had DuckTales. What else can we get duck-related under our belt? Oh, I know, the Mighty Ducks. Because why not?
I mean, yeah, why not? Look, you got to understand, old Disney would run a line of cocaine and be like, yeah, man, that sounds great, let's do it. Like, that's the old Disney mentality. So, like, it was probably one of their kids was like, let's do a duck show. Hey, that did well. Let's do another one. Hey, that did well.
Well, you're not wrong. Like, basically, it's like the turtle aspect. We did one turtle show. Let's do another turtle show. Let's do another. Oh, let's do another turtle show. Oh, wait, this one's not as good, and the animation's just terrible. I think we were too close to the fire on that one. But, you know, fun fact for you, duck is a red meat. I always thought it was a white meat because it's a bird. But turns out it is a red meat because it's a fat content thing. It's a little food knowledge for y'all.
They're high in fat. They're actually, like, they float because of how much fat is in their system. See, I can cook duck very well. I knew it's a red meat. If you want me to send you a recipe, I will. It's actually really tasty.
Ooh, I may have to take you up on that. Yeah, but although it's funny that they're virtue signaling now, but way back in the day, we got, what do we got, crows that sounded like African Americans. We got Asian-style cats, Indians that sound way too cliche. So I think it's kind of like you know, the one mom that takes their kid out to play, but she's very nervous. That kid scrapes his knee, and now she's overcompensating by putting him in a suit of armor just to play basketball or something.
Oh, no, it's a snowplow parent. they just plow all the obstacles in their child's way out of the way. Helicopter parents are no longer a thing. It's a snowplow parent. They take everything away, and so that way their kid just is a soft pile of mush moving forward. And that's why we have everybody offended that Disney has an Indian character not played by an Indian. You know?
Well, I don't want to get too political, but yes, it does feel like they're overcompensating. So I get it. I mean, it was a different time, so, and I'm glad they're making up for their past mistakes. But at this point, they're just stupidly overcompensating. But that's just my two cents for you. Take it with a grain of salt, or actually listen to what I'm saying. Your dealer's choice.
No, I fully agree with you.
But then there you go. That's my two cents on that. But honestly, what I'm really looking forward to for Disney-wise, like I've said, the return of Gargoyles, I am really looking forward to that. I am looking forward to the Marvel phases. It's going to be really awesome. And, Steve, I don't know if I've ever told you this. Fantastic Four, hear me out. Are you familiar with the character Mole Man?
Was really a character of Low Man?
Mole Man, yeah. He lives underground. He has all these monsters. He's like 4 foot something.
I'm not familiar with the character for some reason.
Yeah, that's okay. So basically, here's what I'm thinking. Danny DeVito as Mole Man for the next Fantastic Four movie. We just have him go full Frank Reynolds from Sunny in Philadelphia. I'm the Mole Man. So anyway, my monsters start blasting.
Can I interest you in a nice egg in these trying times?
wait a minute.
That would be good.
Where's the rum ham? Where's the rum ham?
That would be good as like a joke character. I really think it would be great for him to make like random appearances like that if there was a Fantastic Four movie.
It would, but let's call it spade a spade on this. They're going to start out with Doctor Doom. The same formula. Every time we get a new Batman movie, most likely it's going to be Joker as the villain. Every time we get a Superman movie, it's going to be
Lex Luthor
as the villain. Or General Zod, for that matter. Every time we get a Spider-Man movie, Green Goblin or Doc Ock, et cetera, et cetera. So I get
right.
It's a familiar name. Like, I doubt a lot of people would know who, like, say, who Killer Croc is, who Egghead is, who Killer Moth is. Joker is a name people, regardless of who you speak to, is someone we're all familiar with. That's why we keep seeing all these Batman movies, because it's a common household name. And I get it, as
right.
a businessman, you want to market, but as a comic book fan, seriously, can we just get a Lobo movie? A frickin' space bounty hunter movie. He's like Han Solo. Han Solo was a badass.
I mean, you're not wrong. I mean, I think that what they need, in order for Disney to make a full, clean play, they need to hire a bunch of second-rate screenwriters and a director, give them a budget of about $1 million to come up with a script. Let that script go out into, like, the ether of Internet and Twitter, whatever. Get a judgment poll of what it is, and then make the movie as is. I think that's a good idea for Disney to do.
It would be, and honestly, here's an idea for Disney, for MCU. Kazar and the Savage Land. Basically, you're in the Arctic, and inside Antarctica, I believe, you got a whole bunch of dinosaurs and mammoths and a whole bunch of other stuff, like a real Tarzan-esque feel to it. That's what I'm going for.
Right. Oh, man versus elements?
Well, no, it's kind of like, have you ever seen Primal right now? Kind of like that.
No.
Oh, dude, you got to catch Primal on HBO Max. And on that note, this has been Talk Geek with Tyler Brook. Thank you all so much for listening. You can catch the archive show on Mancini Media. And if you want to follow me, you want to reach out to me, check out my website, geektalkwithtyler.com, and you can check all my social media pages there. Fluffy Hobo, sorry, Steve, do you want to say where people can reach out to you?
You can reach me across any and all social media sites at The Fluffy Hobo Show or Fluffy Hobo, everywhere, pretty much. I got a Twitch, a YouTube, Twitter. I hardly use Twitter, but I'm there.
So it's like a back pocket thing. And with that, everybody,
yeah,
stay geeky.